Brother T.A. Lester from Winchester, Kentucky, coming to us to share with us God's Word, and also we appreciate him coming.
Amen. Let me tell you again how good it is to be back with you. Amen. We were talking, coming down the road, I don't know, this is 11 or 12 years, something like that, and it's really our honor to be here. We never take for granted an invitation to come to a church, and this church is so special to us, and we've been through some awful joyful times and some sad times with you folks, and we just love you, and we appreciate you having us back. The trip was uneventful. A preacher texted me Friday afternoon. We actually came in on Friday. Because when they get the room, they have to get it for a week. And I thought, you know what, if we come in on Friday, I can rest up just a little dab on Saturday and everything, and hopefully be a little more fresh for you and everything. So we, on Friday afternoon, early evening, the preacher called me and said, how'd it go? And I said, well, we're here. We just really are kind of getting arranged. But it was an uneventful trip. But I was using talk to text, and what he got was it was an eventful trip. So I had to jump back on and real quickly let him know that was uneventful. And that's the kind of trips I like. Amen. Traffic glitch here and there, but when you drive 400 miles and don't have any kind of a traffic glitch, I get a little nervous, you know, but nothing major, no problems and everything. So we appreciate that. Appreciate the fine place you have for us to stay here. They're just a wonderful place and everything. Appreciate that. Appreciate all your love and your care and everything for us. Appreciate your prayers. We need your prayers. Amen. I cannot operate on my wife, and I'm sure she is thinking, praise the Lord, amen. But, you know, it's a situation that right before she goes in the operating room, I'll be there, I'll have prayer with her, but then I'm out of the picture, amen, except for prayer. But I thank God that He is the one that heals the ones that need to be healed. Bible said, for any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. And I do beseech you to pray for us. It'll be next Tuesday, August the 1st and everything. Of course, that is the headliner on our personal prayer list and everything. Bonnie's been dealing with this condition for about 40 years. Now, I know you don't think she's 40 years old. You think I robbed a cradle, but she is. So we're hoping this will take care of about four or five problems and everything. So remember that in your prayer. Since I was here last, we have a new grandbaby. Amen. Number 14. And this is, over the years, you prayed for Tara, our daughter who is a missionary in some pretty rough countries and everything. She had her baby in December. And thank you, preacher. I appreciate that. Both mom and the baby are doing fine. We've seen them several times. And she had been praying about basing in America instead of a Muslim country. And they made that decision. And so she'll actually be based in Chattanooga. And that's pretty close. It's a whole lot closer than where she used to be. Amen. Pray for them. Like I say, they're doing well and everything. Rest the kids. Had another one graduate from high school this year. It just means I'm getting older. That's the only thing I can figure out. Amen. Pray for the kids and the grandkids and all of that. We thank God. We've had a tremendous shall I call it spring, summer season. We've seen God save 35 people since the last week of May. Has absolutely nothing to do with me. Has everything to do with Him. Amen. And we're thrilled about that. We saw five saved last week. And hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I've got five new brothers and sisters, so thankful for that. God has been blessing in the services. I see a spiritual upturn in America. I'm not going to say we're having revival. We've had some indications of revival. Amen. So we thank God for that. We appreciate that and everything. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do this week here in Mebane. You say, what is God going to do? I don't know. But God's going to do some things, and I'm looking forward to that. I'd like to see revival break out. Oh, Holy Ghost, heaven sent, shingle rattling, hellfire and brimstone, God loving, sin hating revival break out right here. Amen. And everything. I've been in revival and been in good revivals. You all had one down the road here a few years back at Burlington, and I've been into a number of services like that. That's what I want all the time. Amen. So you pray for us. The creation ministry and the ark ministry is still going strong. We're sending people. As a matter of fact, we have folks going today I don't promote going to those on Sunday, but they don't have an evening service, and so they want to go to the ark. And so we've got folks going today to the Ark and Creation Museum, and God is really blessing those ministries with a lot of people going, taking vacations to go and all of that. We thank God for the privilege to represent a number of churches and people as we do travel. That's really the ministry thumbnail sketch. Do you have any questions? I mean, you're one of our supporting churches. And by the way, let me say to you, you have no idea what that support, well, Miss Ball does, okay, what that support means coming in on a regular basis, because it allows us to go where we go and do what we do, and we never put a price tag on it. We have some weeks, 2 weeks ago, we were on the road every day doing mission work and benevolent work and things like that. Took another 14-foot cargo trailer full of things up to Appalachia and just gave it to them. We're prone to not ask for money. Let me just put it like that. And I'm not being critical of anybody, but God so wonderfully supplies for us. So continue to pray. That trailer is about a third loaded again, so we'll make multiple trips up to Appalachia this year with that. Anything you've got a question about, something we're doing, you're wondering about, preacher, we started a new thing called a benevolent ministry, or bereavement ministry, and we actually, if people want to, we sit down with them and counsel them on the various aspects of, you know, going through the bereavement process. And that can be a major thing. It can be a real financial drain on a family and everything. And I'm thrilled to be able to help people with that. I have a funeral director that works with us very, very closely, and so we're thankful for that. And they don't have to go to him, okay? They can go anywhere they want to go. But I think people need to know the various options, because if you've been through that, and many of you have in this auditorium this morning, you know it's a fast-moving process. And so, I'm encouraged about that. Thank the Lord for the contacts and everything to be able to do that. So that's something a little bit different, and it's not the most pleasant thing in the world, but you can be a blessing to people. Amen. And that's what I like. So any questions at all? All right. I've either baffled you entirely or answered your questions. I'm not sure which, but let's look into the Word of God for about a half an hour this morning. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter 7, verse number 35. We're going to read 35 through 38. And I want to talk to you about something. When I read through have you ever read through the Word of God and you thought, no, they didn't say that? You know? You ever done that? I have. I've done it a lot, okay? And this is one of those places. Verse 35 in Acts chapter 7, the Bible said, "This Moses, whom they refused, saying, 'Who made thee a ruler and a judge?' The same did God send to be a ruler and deliver by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that. He had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, 'A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear.' This is he that was in the church in the wilderness." That is not a misprint. "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, whom the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give and to us." When I read, and I know I've read it before, okay? But when I read through that, and I saw in verse number 38, the church in the wilderness, I said to myself, you know, we learn a little bit of Bible and we study a little bit and everything, and we think we got a handle on things. And then, verse number 38 comes in, and we realize what the Bible said, a church in the wilderness. You say, "Preacher, you know, there wasn't a church in the wilderness." Is that right? Well, I tend to believe this book. Amen? And if God said there was a church in the wilderness, there had to be a church in the wilderness. So I began to study at it and look at it and everything. And I realized Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Okay? I realize that's in the New Testament. I realize also in Acts chapter number 2, we have the story of Pentecost, the empowering of the church. I realize in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, we have the seven churches and instructions and all of that that was given to them. But I've never seen the church in the wilderness. That word church is the Hebrew word ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. So you see, even though the church proper, as church history records it, and we understand it and see it, and the institution, organization of the church and all that had not been done, there was a group of called out people in the wilderness. Amen. They were God's people. They were the chosen people of Israel. Okay? And that word ecclesia, when it says called out, there was a called out group. It was the Jews. Okay? It not only means the called out assembly, it's talking about a religious assembly that is there to worship God. And when the children of Israel were right with God, they were worshiping God. Amen? Now, there's a lot of times they weren't. I understand that, kind of like we are. Amen? But they were and I hate to use the word religious, but they were, okay? It not only means a called out assembly, it not only means a religious assembly, it means a body of the faithful. And in the Old Testament, we see a lot of people that were faithful. You say, "Preacher, they all made mistakes." Yeah, and you have too. Amen. We all have, okay? But we can still be faithful, all right? That's why the book of Hebrews, the Bible said, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be faithful in being where God wants us to be. So as you look at that word church, the called out assembly, a religious assembly, a body of the faithful, okay, we can see and understand what the Bible's talking about there. We notice, first of all, in verse number 35, the Bible said, this Moses whom they refused, okay? Every time God has a church, an ecclesia, okay? Every time God has that, he has a God-called leader. Moses was their God-called leader, okay? They didn't always agree with him. A lot of times they didn't follow him, okay? He was the only one going the way God wanted him to go, okay? But God set him up, amen? I think that Noah was a leader of that same type, okay? For somewhere between 55 and 75 years, he oversaw the construction of the ark. If you've ever been up to northern Kentucky and you have seen the full-scale replica of what they think the ark looked at. Hey, look, now folks, I'm not going to split hairs with you, all right? Everything up there, they did their best to read the Word of God and the descriptions given in the Word of God. And it may not all be exactly 100% true. I believe it's close, and I have no problem with the ark, okay? But it's just like, and something that amazed me, and if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. They had an entire system of some shape, form, or fashion that got rid of all the debris that was on. They had all those animals on there. Somebody had to clean the stalls. Somebody had to get rid of all that kind of stuff. Now, was it exactly the way they have depicted it? They have kind of a conveyor belt system that goes from the third floor to the first floor, and it showed how they got rid of all that and everything. It may not have been exactly like that, but they had to have something. They didn't have enough people on the ark to do it, okay? So they had to have some type of a system and everything. And Noah was the leader in that area, okay? He was like 500 years old when his boys were born, okay? The Bible talks about his wives and all that. But let me tell you, the God-called leader of the church or the ecclesia, okay, has three main responsibilities. His first responsibility is to feed the flock. Amen. Somebody didn't feed the flock, the sheep are going to die of starvation. Amen. Not only was the called out leader supposed to feed the flock, he was supposed to lead the flock. Okay. And I have been in the United Kingdom, and I've seen shepherds shepherding sheep, and they have to lead them, okay? And we all need leadership. I need leadership, okay? I thank God for my preacher and the leadership he gives me, and I don't get to be with him much, 3 or 4 times a year is all I get to be in church at my home church, but I thank God for his leadership. I thank God for my preacher's thrust of soul winning. I thank God for the reaching out into the community and everything that's done. We have a reformers program, and I thank God for that, okay? So he not only is supposed to feed us, and he does, he not only is supposed to lead us, and he does, but the God-called leader, okay, is also to protect us. Thy rod and thy staff, okay? And those are weapons part of the time. And you know what? We need to be protected. There's some kind of a dangling for lack of a better word in my vocabulary, that's always coming up with some new idea about the church. Hey, God's got the idea for the church right here, okay? And we don't need something that's not in here. Now, you say, Brother Lester, do you believe in updating and becoming, preacher and I were talking right before service about having a ministry that live streams the services. Do you believe in that? Yeah, I do. I think any way you can reach people and give out the gospel, you need to do it. I heard, I believe it was Jerry Falwell preach all about 40 years or more ago on the golden age of evangelism. And what an opportunity we have with evangelism. The big thing then was televangelism. You remember that? How Dr. Falwell was seemed like all the time on TV, and if it wasn't his program, it was the news he was in, okay? And that was the big thing. Hey, they hadn't even invented the internet at that time. Al Gore had not come up with that great idea at that time, okay? And we've got the internet, and we've not only got the internet, we've got cameras. I'm amazed at some of the clarity and everything that some of these small cameras have, okay? It's unbelievable, okay? But they do that under the leadership and the protection of their leader. Every now and then, your pastor gets up and says, "Now, folks, I need to talk to you about something today," and he'll bring up a topic. Okay, and deal with it. Thank God for that. Okay, so we see back in the church in the wilderness, they had a God called under shepherd. Second of all, we see that it's God that gives the increase. Let me just give you an illustration of how God gives the increase. We were in Whiting, Indiana. I had to think. I call it Hammond so much of the time because that's the word everybody knows, I guess. But suburbs of Chicago. We were up there, and Saturday before the meeting started, we went out winning souls, okay? And thank God he blessed. We had one saved out in the middle of the street. This young preacher, you know how young preachers are, preacher. They're like mud daubers. They're bigger when they're hats than they are at any other time. But he began talking to this woman right in the middle of the street. And it was a neighborhood street, and there wasn't a lot of traffic and everything. And I kept thinking, "Hey, preacher, move over on the sidewalk. Get out of the street." But the Holy Spirit was really moving in her life. And he went all the way through the plan of salvation. And he said, "Ma'am, would you like to get saved?" And she said, "I sure would." And right there in the middle of the street, that woman got saved, okay? And I thought, hallelujah, glory to God. And I was expecting her to be in church on Sunday, but guess what? She didn't come. And the Sunday school hour was over, church service started, and a Hispanic man walked in. And I was curious who'd talked to him and who'd invited him. Hey, you know, folks, we're not necessary for God to move. Okay, I'm smart enough to understand that. And I asked around and everything. So finally, I just asked him. And I really had a problem with his name. His name was Margarito. And I thought, oh, man, I don't but anyway, and so I said, "Margarito, well, what caused you to come? Why'd you come today?" And he said, "Preacher, I worked on that building across the street. And he told me how long it was, weeks and weeks, doing remodeling and demo and all that kind of stuff. And he said, I kept looking at the church over here saying, I'm going to that church someday. And he said, here I am." I said, "Hallelujah, brother." And got to talk to him about the Lord. He was a saved man. He'd gotten saved some time ago and everything. And I talked to his preacher just a week or so ago, a number of weeks after I was up there. And I said, "How's Margarito doing?" He said, "He's there every week." And I said, "Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen." But ladies and gentlemen, the church, okay, needs God to give the increase. Another soul winning story, and I'll move on. I realize we've got service coming up and everything. But I was in Indiana. And we were out knocking on doors, and we knocked on this guy's door, and he came to the door and answered and everything. And I was actually talking to start with and gave him a tract and invited him to church, and he just kind of hum-hawed around and everything, wouldn't commit. And I started talking to him about the Lord, and he wasn't saved, so I got to witnessing to him, and I wasn't getting anywhere. just wasn't getting anywhere. So my visitation partner knew him, all right? In fact, he was the chief of police for that town, my visitation partner. And he called him by name, and his name was Roscoe. I'll never forget it. Well, I might, but, you know, probably won't. And he said, "Now, Roscoe," he said, "you've had your problems." And he started talking to him, and he knew the problems Roscoe had had. And he talked to him for a little while, talked to him about getting saved and everything. Roscoe wouldn't get saved. And after a few minutes, 10 minutes or somewhere in that neighborhood, God opened the door for me to begin to talk to Roscoe again. So I began to talk to Roscoe and talk to him for 5 or 10 minutes again and everything. And finally, after maybe 45 minutes or an hour, Roscoe got saved. Amen. But it was only because God gave the increase. Okay? If we're not careful, we think we have something to do with it. You just better thank God that you're in the toolbox. Amen. And God can use you when He wants to use you. Amen. But we find out this church in the wilderness, just like the church of today, had a God called leader, had a God that gave the increase, okay? Had a God that was coming again. Look in, let's see, verse number 37. "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of the brethren like unto me, whom ye shall hear." You know, the church in the wilderness had a God that was coming again. Hey, Jesus hadn't been here the next to last time. Hey, by the way, He hadn't been here the last time yet. He's coming one more time, okay? And there's two advents to that, okay? But we see that they had a God that was coming. Thank God He's coming to get me, amen? And hallelujah, I'm going home with Jesus, okay? So, this church in the wilderness, we see, had a God called under-shepherd, had a God that gave the increase, had a God that was coming again, and had a God that gave a lively set of oracles or utterances, okay, to give out. Look at verse number 38. The Bible said, "This is He that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke unto him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us." I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've got this book. Amen. And I'm glad there's only one book. And I'm glad Brother Roloff used to say you don't need to rewrite the book, you just need to reread the book. Amen. I'm glad as I learn and put these things into practice in my life, I don't have to worry about what's coming down the tube. There ain't nothing coming down the tube. This is it. This is God's Word. Amen. And of course, you can go back to Exodus chapter 32 and read through all that. And then one more point. Okay, the church in the wilderness not only had a God called shepherd, a God that gives the increase, a God that's coming again, a God that gave a lively set of oracles, but the church has to have a supernatural move of God. I was in a service earlier this year, and I've preached up there about as long as I've preached here in Mebane. It's camp meeting. It's our area camp meeting, and I love the meeting because it's a good meeting. Okay, but I was up there and I preached to a pretty good sized group of young people, and when I got done preaching, you know, I left as if I was supposed to. You know, I was in character and everything, and so I needed to leave. And when I left, the preacher told me that was actually in charge of the meeting that morning. He said, "Have you heard?" And I said, "I don't know. What am I supposed to have heard, you know?" And he said, "After you left," he said, "we had 7 young people get saved." I said, "Preacher, that's fabulous. Tell me about it." He said, "You know, we just got to talking about salvation and how young people could get saved." And he said, "Before long, one young person said, 'Hey, you know, preacher, I'd like to be saved.'" And the preacher sent that young person with somebody that knew how to go through the scriptures and show them how to be saved. And he said, "Preacher, before the morning was over, we had 7 young people saved." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. But you know, that was a supernatural move of God. You remember the burning bush? That was a supernatural move of God. Okay. Remember the 10 commandments twice over? That was a supernatural move of God. Remember the rolling back of the Red Sea? That was a supernatural move of God. Okay. Moses' preservation, was that a supernatural move of God? It was. Ladies and gentlemen, the church in the wilderness and the church of today needs a supernatural move of the Holy Ghost of God. We need God to move, okay, in our presence. Your preacher, I'm sure, I've been around him long enough, that he begs God to move in your presence when he's preaching. Amen. I do. I tell the Lord every time I go to a meeting, I say, "God, we just want to be a blessing. Would you do the blessing and just let us be there?" Amen. And that's the way I feel about it. Hey, I can step back. I have no problem at all stepping back and letting God get all the honor and all the glory, because he deserves it. And he's worthy. And by the way, he's a jealous God. He doesn't like to share his glory with anybody. Amen. That's why I tell folks all the time, it ain't me, it's him. Amen. The church in the wilderness. No, it may have not been the same organization that was in the book of Acts, but it was there. The ecclesia, the called out assembly, the religious assembly that worshiped God, the body of the faithful. And so, you know, I said all that to say this, and I took your Sunday school hour to say it. But ladies and gentlemen, as we're reading through the Word of God, and you read through something and you think, "Wow, did that really say that?" If it's in the Word of God, it really said that, and it really meant that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this Sunday.